If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
In the Tribune last December, Alexi Janulis, our Secretary of State, authored an op-ed where he ticked off some of the things that his office has been doing. And as I said earlier, some of these things seem like such good ideas. You slap your head and say, why weren't we doing this all along? He reminded readers, I've been reminding you, that the Secretary of State's office has doubled the number of people who get driver's licenses and ID cards online. They've introduced an appointment system. Yeah, they've established 4 senior-only centers. This is the one that makes great sense. The DMV facilities are now one-stop shops. So many of them are, with cross-trained employees. So when you go to one station to get your license, you can also do registration and other things. That one employee can be a one-stop shop. Hooray! There's self-service kiosks at grocery stores where you can get your license. What a good idea. And the list goes on. You know, so often it's easy to go, the agencies, government, they're inefficient. They don't do anything right. It seems like our Secretary of State's office is doing many things right. Alexi, you didn't pay me to say that, but that's how I feel.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. We are working very, very hard to make people believe again in government and to make life as easy and efficient for people as we possibly can.
Yeah, that's an interesting sentence, make people believe again in government. I mean, I'm not a cynic, but when an agency operates efficiently like that, you go, okay, getting it done. Good job, Chicago. Good job, Illinois. You're the Secretary of State. You're also in the news, though, for championing the idea that we would raise the driving age for mandatory tests for seniors. Talk to me briefly about that, Alexi.
Well, again, thanks for having me on. The truth of the matter is we are the only state in America that requires driving exams based solely on age, the only state in the country. And so we've done our homework. Everything we do in this office, as you mentioned earlier, is based on data. It's data-driven. We look at facts, we look at numbers, and we make decisions based on empirical data. The truth of the matter is, the crash rate for drivers 75 and older is just over 24 per 1,000 drivers. This is lower than every age range of drivers between 16 and 74 years old. This is the safest category of drivers in the state. So on the one hand, fairness is important. We are dealing in a society that is ageist in many ways. But more importantly, we're adding a component where if a family member, who, by the way, have the best line of sight into a person's cognitive state, can now report any concerns they have about a potential driver, regardless of age, to us to let us know if they're dangerous drivers. And the last point I'll say on that, Illinois is one of just 5 states in the entire country that does not allow family members to express concerns about the driving ability of family members. 1 of 5 states nationally.
So what do you propose then? If I thought my mom or grandma shouldn't be driving, what's the process by which I should be able to report them?
Right. So again, under the current system, just to be clear, under the current system, if someone calls our office and says, my grandfather has dementia and routinely gets in fender benders, we can't do anything about it. If someone calls and says, my sister has undiagnosed narcolepsy and falls asleep at the wheel, we can't do anything about it. So we have no mechanisms in place. This legislation would allow for an individual to fill out a form to let our office know. It will go to our medical review board. We would have 30 days. We'd reach out to that driver, and we'd make sure that they should be on the road.
Would you call them in for a test? How do you determine their ability?
We would have them provide medical information that our medical review board, which is currently in place already, would verify and approve, in which case they would stay on the road. Otherwise, we'd call them in for a test.
So this medical review board, how do they know if grandma or grandpa is able to drive?
Again, we would do our homework. We'd speak to the doctor. We'd call
the
individual.
But then I would have had to have had an appointment with the doctor. A doctor needs to sign off on my ability to drive. Is that what you're suggesting?
Essentially. Again, we're going to do everything we can to verify this information, as other states, as 45 other states do. It's worked very effectively. We've spoken to other states. make this process as convenient as possible. The other point is, you know, so we don't ruin anyone's Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner, when a family member calls in, while we know who the individual is, it would remain anonymous.
I'm not entirely persuaded that the demographics you talk about, people over the age of 74, you say demographically are the safer driver, is all that persuasive. I think the reason they don't get many accidents is because they don't go very far very fast. Are they competent drivers in other situations? I think less so. So when you guys keep championing that, I'm not convinced that that's maybe the most germane statistic.
Well, again, there are a number of statistics, the Illinois Department of Transportation, the U.S. Department of Transportation, and so putting aside facts, which is, again, we make decisions based on data, putting aside the fact that we're the only state in the country that requires driving tests based solely on age, and our numbers are no different, better, or worse than any other state. I will also tell you anecdotally, John, you know, as you drive down the street, when was the last time you saw an elderly driver gunning it past you or checking their Twitter or, you know, driving recklessly? So
I agree, and I'll give you that. But also, a lady in Joliet drove into a McDonald's the other day, and I don't know if that was a medical issue or inattention, but she was a senior citizen. Let's put it this way. At some age, we're going to make that determination, and you think it should be 87, right? Why 87?
Well, so we're not making a change. 87 is currently the age with which individuals have to come in every year. So we're not changing that.
Yeah,
by the way,
you say 79, yeah.
Right. So we have folks, by the way, who are telling us even at 87, that's not fair. So we're trying to sort of be reasonable and make sure this bill passes.
But, no, so again, but neither you nor I are saying that those people shouldn't be allowed to drive. We're simply saying, hey, 85-year-old, hey, 80-year-old, hey, 79-year-old, once a year, go to the Secretary of State's office, make an appointment, get in the car, and prove that you're a good driver. And if you do, you get to keep driving. Most 80-year-olds have a free day. I'll bet they could do that.
Well, I would tell you, and I don't know the individual in Joliet that you mentioned. I didn't know about it. I don't know the age. I don't know any of the facts. But there's a strong chance that he or she passed their driving exam. Again, we're the only state in the country that requires folks in this age group to pass a driving exam, and there's no data or evidence or statistics that show that in Illinois our numbers are any different. So
yeah.
All we're saying is let's focus on fairness, let's look at data, but let's also, for the first time ever, provide some safeguard where someone can now call in and say, hey, my brother, my sister, my uncle, my grandparent should not be on the road. There's never been that mechanism. So that's a key component of this legislation.
I like that. That sounds good. I think that is so true. If you want to know who the good teachers are in a school, ask the parents of the kindergartners, and they will know.
Right.
If you want to know who the good drivers are, ask the kids and grandkids, and they'll tell you if mom, dad, grandma, or grandpa are good drivers. All of us families know that stuff. Pete just reminded me the driver I was referring to, and it's just one story. This is anecdotal. She was 70. It might have been a medical emergency. I don't know that her age was necessarily the factor. You know, was she a good driver or not? But I wanted to ask you, too, about that group you said over the age of 74, demographically, they're very good drivers. But I wonder if you then slice that over the age of 80, over the age of 85. At some point, just by virtue of your age, you're going to be less able to drive well. Right, Alexi?
I think there are lots of factors, yeah, over a certain age. But I would also tell you the world is changing. I think, you know, my mom is 80, not to jinx her. She drives perfectly well. They tend to, you know, drive during the day.
Yeah.
I don't want to take the opposite position, but the truth of the matter is rarely do I see an elderly driver gunning it or going through a red light, the exact opposite. So, you know.
Is there anything you can do about those guys? And by the way, they're guys. Those people that are swerving in and out, that are running down the shoulder, that are texting or just being obnoxious. Is there anything in your power to curtail that?
Well, I will tell you on a separate note, we are really focused in the Secretary of State's office on distracted driving. We have legislation out there to try and combat distracted driving. We have a new video coming out. Distracted driving has become the new drunk driving of our age.
Yeah.
The statistics are horrifying. And I'm sure all of your listeners have seen folks who are texting or checking their social media. And by the way, pedestrians also who are crossing the street, staring at their phone, not even paying attention. Distracted driving is an enormous problem in the United States of America. People are dying every day. We are working with Mothers Against Drunk Driving, working with all these advocacy groups. And the tragic part, John, is that finally drunk driving numbers have actually started to come down from a macro perspective. But distracted driving numbers are skyrocketing.
I want to ask you about one other thing, Alexi. I know you and I both are watching our clocks here. You texted or tweeted, not to pile on here, but this downgrade is truly maddening, especially considering the work that Illinois has been doing to upgrade our credit and the fact that the city was warned. There's a story out, Chicago suffers credit downgrade, and it was because of the budget the city has and the inability to raise revenue in a reasonable way. So the people out there that watch our credit worthiness have now downgraded us. You tweeted about that. Why and what are you saying?
I'm saying that the state of Illinois has worked very hard to create a rainy day fund to sort of curb our budget deficits, to have these credit upgrades, and the governor deserves credit for that. So it's tragic when this credit agency warned the city and then followed up with a downgrade. So and you know, people acting surprised. They told us that we needed to handle this structural budget deficit. I live in Chicago. I love Chicago. So I was dismayed, but not shocked, because they literally told us they were going to put this downgrade into effect.
And who's at fault for that?
Well, I don't work for the city of Chicago, so I don't want to say who's at fault. I mean, I think leadership matters. Decisions that are made in City Hall matter, and the credit agency said so.
I understand that, and you brought this up, but I mean, if you were mayor, what would you do about the shortfall? Would you raise property taxes? Would you be able to cut personnel enough to make up the difference? I mean, do you have any ideas about what the city can do?
I've got some thoughts as sort of an outsider looking in, and if the mayor wanted to get my advice, I'd talk to him or any member of city council. I don't want to sit here from the outside and tell them what to do. I'm just, you know, the city was warned, and we're doing our job, and on the state side, we're working very hard to create the efficiencies that you mentioned, to bring down costs, to cut our budget, to find ways to cut the time tax that people pay to access government services. So as a Chicagoan, I'm concerned, and I'm here to be helpful if anyone calls me.
Do you have specific ideas? I mean, do you have a little bit of a blueprint in the back of your mind or something on a Word doc over there?
I have some ideas, and if anyone wanted to ask me, I'd be happy to give my thoughts.
I'll let you not give them here if you don't want to. But one last thing, Mr. Janulius, that also sounds like a blueprint for a run for a different office. Is that in the back of your mind as well?
I think two facts are true. I love this job. I love being Secretary of State. I love the changes we're making. I'm relentlessly focused on passing this legislation and modernizing the office. And the second fact, which is also true, is that I love the city of Chicago. I grew up here. I've always lived in the city. I'm raising my four daughters here. And I care deeply about the city and the state, and I believe in public service. So whatever that looks like, I'm here to help. To the point that was made earlier, we need good people in government. We need good people in the public sector. So I encourage everyone who's competent, who cares, and who's relatively intelligent to hop in and join us.
Well, I'm happy that you're the Secretary of State, but that sounds like in a couple of years you might be running for mayor.
I love my job very, very much. I have a job to finish. I'm focused on it.
Yeah.
I promised the people of Illinois we would transform the office. We're not done doing it, and that's my focus.
I'm glad you're doing it, Alexi. Nice job. Thank you for joining us today, and good luck to you. I hope your phone rings after this conversation and somebody asks you for some ideas.
Have a great day. Thanks for having me.
Alexi Janulius is Illinois Secretary of State.